guys. We are back again. Episode, guess what? Carrie?
Nine.
Episode nine. Okay, we haven't done episode nine in about 2 years. I'm Jen, guys.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are back. We're doing, I believe, episode 91.
Okay.
Today.
I was off by two, but damn.
And yeah, I know we're getting there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, geez, your first episode, well, your first, like, full-time episode with us was in the 50s?
I think it was, like, 55.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to go back and check the archives, but yeah, it was, yeah, it's been a while. But yeah, so we are getting there. And how are you coming along with the plans for our 2-year anniversary?
Oh, quite well.
Excellent. Always excellent. Always good to hear. And of course, you know, with me usually being the one to decide what we do and what we talk about and, you know, the game plan and everything, I'm nervous. You know, gotta be.
There will be some surprises for you.
Oh, boy, that's not necessarily a good thing. but I love surprises, so we'll see what happens.
I'll try and reel it in.
Nah. You might as well let it all hang out. Come on, it's the 2-year anniversary.
Yeah, thanks. I'm very excited about it.
Excellent. Well, I have no new news ever since... The news about some Amber Heard friggin' trying to pin another guy.
Sure.
And, of course, there's been no Hiddleston news since the realization that he has a son.
Yeah.
So, and his son, like I said, somewhere right around now is the child's birthday. So, happy first birthday, Little Hiddleston.
Little Hiddy.
Little Hiddle. There we go.
Little Hiddle.
Yeah, he's going to hate that growing up. He's going to be like, Dad, can I change my name?
Given the genetic composition of this child, they're going to be teasing him until he's roughly age 15.
Oh, please. They're going to be teasing him until he's big enough to make sure they can't tease him anymore.
They're going to be 15.
I don't know. You know, I mean, of course, you know, if you look at Tom, when he was growing up, he didn't really start putting on muscle until he decided to try out for the MCU. He was always very thin, very wiry.
Yeah, you know, and a lot like, you know, genetically, he was probably, you know, still roughly in shape for a guy that didn't train, you know, for movie parts. You know, I know the MCU has kind of a requirement.
Oh, yes.
For a lot of their, you know, male actor. Yeah, you're right. Oh. Once he started hitting the MCU, it was a lean and hit the weights fine.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth goes vegan for the MCU.
Yeah, and that's just really interesting. There's a lot of professional football players I have found in the last year that are killers. I mean,
they
killers,
do the same thing,
defensive and offensive, and they're like vegan.
Oh, vegan's wow,
how you do it?
Yeah, my oldest daughter, my little Katie, and I say little, she just turned 33. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She just turned 33. The beginning of this month, but yeah, she tried the whole vegan thing for just a few minutes, but she came to visit me when I was living in South Florida, and I had a can of bacon ranch Pringles, and she munched on a couple of them, and she's like, oh, these are really good, you know, and she looked to see what kind. I saw they were bacon and wouldn't touch another one.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
She was. Yeah. It's like, baby, it's not real bacon. It's bacon flat. I don't care.
Yeah, it's flavor. Yeah, right. No.
I don't care.
She doesn't even want to be. Yep.
But yeah, she has since put paid to that one. Thank goodness. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm an eatitarian. You know, if I see it, I eat it.
Yep. It's the seafood diet.
Exactly. Yeah, me and my thighs are having a real problem with the seafood diet at this point.
They keep feeding me at work, and I'm like, man, I can't refuse it, though.
Well, yeah, because then it looks bad if you say, no, that's okay, you know.
Yeah, they're doing it out of, you know, appreciation. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm having another 3 pieces of fried chicken.
Exactly.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. Jimmy's like, here's chicken. It's literally like they're giving me a weekly chicken dump, you know, as I keep working. I'm like, thanks, Jim.
No, see, what you don't know is they're like, oh, shit, we've got extra fried chicken. Wait, no. Carrie will eat it. Let's just give it to him.
Yeah. They know where my office is, and he just kind of he'll drop it off in my office when I'm out.
So that the entire office smells like fried chicken as soon as you walk in the door.
He closes the door.
Oh, yeah.
It seeps.
Oh, yeah. Well, I work, right now I work at a deli, and they make some of the best food. I keep trying like little stuff, like they do an apple cobbler and a peach cobbler. I'm like, I'm going to try a little bit of this because hopefully it won't be that good considering that it's, you know, it's mass produced kind of thing. And maybe it won't be that good, so I won't be tempted to go back and get more. Oh, no. Oh, no, it's good.
It is good.
I'm like, damn y'all, do you have to make the food this good? But yeah, the little ladies that I work with, they are some amazing cooks. Shout out to the Ingles Deli. You guys are awesome. Keep doing what you do. Oh, and by the way, we have a birthday shout out.
Yep.
We do.
Yep. London, my daughter is turning 19, and she was just talking about how she's like, I'm a legal adult now. And I'm like, well, you're actually shy about 4 hours.
Well, she was a legal adult at 18. But...
18, yeah, but something about 19 for her. I don't know.
Well, a lot of kids are like that. I know my twins were like that. Faye and Mars were like that. And yes, my kids are named Faye and Mars.
They're pretty great, actually.
Oh, they are. They're amazing kids. Yep. Faye, Mars, Maximilian, Katie, Mickey, and Jake. All of them. Gotta love them all.
Yes. That's right.
But yeah, so... And yeah, don't make fun of Maximilian's name.
Maximilian doesn't like it.
Well, and he's also... he's working on third degree. The child is, he'll be 12 in December.
Mm-hmm.
And, or I'm sorry, in October. Duh. The day before Halloween, he'll be 12.
Nice.
He's working on third degree black belt.
Yeah. Wow. Scorpio with black belt. Yeah, people.
Oh, well, his dad's 6-degree black belt in 3 different martial arts. So.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's following the family tradition.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not be wise to make fun of Max's name.
Yeah, don't do it.
But anyway, shout out London. We love you, darling. Happy birthday.
Love you.
And so, let's move on to the body of our podcast. We are doing the babes and bods of the MCU. And so I guess next week we'll be doing Babes and Bods of the Caribbean.
Wow, Babes and Bods of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that just opens a whole new window.
Can't wait to talk about Zoe.
Of course.
Quite frankly.
So, now I did not have, I had an issue narrowing down my bods.
Me too.
But the babes? Oh, the babes were easy.
I think the babes were easy.
The babe. Well, there's not that. There's a whole lot less babes in the MCU than there are bods.
Sure. But man, did they pick them.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I had trouble with my number one. because there's two that are fighting. They're still fighting for number one. I'd love to see the two of them in hand-to-hand combat. That would be awesome. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, for the bods, let's start with number five. What did you think?
And listen, the bods being kind of not necessarily bods from my...
No, just bods as in men.
The boys, if you will. Because, listen, a couple of guys that I've picked out, they're not really known for the bods.
Agreed.
But so sexy for other factors.
Oh, and the sex appeal can come from anywhere. I mean, I know guys that if you look at them, if you like see them, you're like, no, that's not sexy. But if you hear them, you're like, oh, wait, who is that? Yeah, just talk. Just talk to me. So, yeah, that sex appeal can come from anywhere. So, number five for you.
Okay, so number five, and you know what? I'm going to say it loud and I'm going to say it proud. I'm going to go with Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster.
Yes.
I am going to go with Goldblum. And... you know, a lot of this, of course, ladies and gentlemen, gentle listener, this is all subjective. I think we all have our own order, you know, in our head. Don't think that we're an authority. It comes down to you as the authority. But if you're asking me, Goldblum comes in at number five, and it is because it's just Jeff Goldblum.
Well, as you have pointed out many, many times, we are people of a certain age.
Yes.
And yes. As people of a certain age, we have seen Jeff Goldblum in all stages. I mean, from the time he was in his 20s, mm-hmm. all the way through his 30s, 40s, now he's in his 60s, and he is still beautiful.
Yeah, you know, he's inside and out. And you know, I remember him in Earth Girls Are Easy.
Oh my god, yes.
I remember him in Buckaroo Banzai.
Yep.
And I remember him in The Fly. You know, yep. He was actually like straight up, we were straight up getting like him and Gina. Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis in a sex scene.
They work.
Babe. You know, and you can say what
Earth Girls Are Easy. Man, that was one of the best frigging scenes in the entire movie was when he comes into her bedroom and he's like, so do you want to have sex now? And she's like, well, I don't even know if we're compatible. And he drops his pants. She goes, oh, yeah, we're compatible.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, he's kind of been, and a lot of people maybe have, you know, rediscovered him, or a younger generation have kind of discovered him through, you know, all of these things that he's done recently.
And the Jurassic Park series cannot be understated when it comes to Jeff Goldblum.
Well, it's his sense of style. It's his voice and his mannerisms, the way he just kind of talks in that stream of consciousness thing. He's very, you know, honest, and I don't know, man, he's just cool.
Jeff Goldblum, exactly.
He makes him sexy.
That is it. He is just cool on every different level that you can think of. Right. It's amazing. I mean, I have loved the man since I saw him in Earth Girls Are Easy. And yeah. By the way, he does he plays, I believe, piano for one of the more elite restaurants in New York every now and then.
Of course he does. Like, you know, and I'm like, I didn't even know that. I'm like, yeah, of course.
I'll have to look that one up so that I can give you the skinny on that one. But I would love to go to New York and be like, okay, yeah, I waited 6 months for these reservations. Jeff better be here.
Yeah, absolutely. He better be here. Exactly.
But yeah, Jeff Goldblum ranks right up there as far as iconic, you know, cannot be understated. Right up there with David Bowie, Alice Cooper, you know, the benchmarks of our time.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I couldn't agree more.
But yeah, so yeah, Jeff Goldblum actually hit number four for me.
Who was your number five, if you don't mind my asking?
And of course I don't have my list sitting in front of me. The black guy that Captain America gives his shield to.
Oh, well, that's funny, because my number four is Sam Wilson slash Anthony Mackie.
Yes.
Anthony Mackie. Great amount of sex appeal, very modern, just cool, and
untouchable.
You know, I'm throwing this out there, he's a New Orleans native.
Is he? Well, that's an added bonus.
And for, and again, gentle listener, please exercise a little patience while I put this out there. But he did an episode of Hot Ones, which is an interview show that's online where the interviewer, Sean.
That's the one that Charlize Theron blew them all away.
Yeah, and she totally blew them all away. And, you know, Anthony Mackie blew them all away. But one of the questions was, and I love the show because they ask questions like this. How do you eat, serve and eat the ultimate New Orleans po' boy? And Mackie, while he was under extreme duress because of heat, however he was handling it, said, listen, you always serve a proper po' boy with Zapp's potato chips, and I don't care what people say. It's not the voodoo Zaps. It's the craw-tater Zaps. He's like, I don't care what they say. They're wrong and they're traitors. And after that, I always thought he was sexy. I always thought he was cool. But at that point, he was kind of a one of us kind of guy.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's very down to earth. And you can tell when he was vibing with that cast that was essentially his family in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
That was his time to shine. That character's time to shine and Anthony Mackie's time to shine.
Yeah, I'll have to give it to you there. Absolutely. So our four and five were a little flipped. So
yeah, not bad though, right?
Not much. So let's move on. Let's see number three. Who you got for number three? Oh, and by the way, just so everybody knows, we are excluding Hiddleston because he is the main guy in the MCU. We all know that. So in order to not have him as number one for everybody, he's excluded from the countdown.
So number three, I'm going to go where, I don't know, I don't think it's at this point a surprise, but number three, I'm going with Idris Elba in Heimdall.
Once again, we are flip-flopped. I had him as number two.
Ah, right.
I did, Idris Elba, and it cannot be understated. A lot of his appeal, for me anyway, as, you know, as a female, is the eyes, the hair, you know, I've seen Idris Elba in a couple of different things. Pacific Rim, he was amazing, but to me, he wasn't sexy in Pacific Rim. You know, there was no sex appeal there for me.
He was doing the guy in charge thing, and there's no...
Right, but as Heimdall, wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You just can't.
The beard was killer.
But, okay, now I have to tell you my number three, the one that Idris Elba beat out.
Who is it?
RDJ.
All right, so you're getting RDJ at three.
At
okay.
three.
Okay.
At three. And it was a really tough call because, I mean, like, my two and three are, like, evenly matched. You could put either one either place. But I didn't want to copy you, so.
Yeah, so flipping Idris Elba for Robert Downey Jr.
But now, I mean, I'm sorry. The human in the MCU with the biggest biceps. There's only one MCU actor that beats out RDJ for larger biceps. Only one. And he plays a god. Come on, it's not that hard.
You're not going to go with Anthony Hopkins, are you?
No. Although, he actually hit about number seven.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I love Anthony Hopkins. What? I think he's sexy as hell. Evil?
Sexy? No.
Oh, yeah. Friggin' evil incarnate? Sexy. Absolutely.
Anthony Hopkins, actually, you know what? Okay.
But, you know, I'm combining.
It would have been, you may not have said that if it weren't for the Hannibal Lecter stuff.
Probably not.
I mean, is there a frame where, because I have heard a lot of people say that Hannibal Lecter is incredibly sexy.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if there was like a
yes.
imprint.
Absolutely. Well. Absolutely. If it had not been for everything else I have seen him in. I probably would not have even considered including him in my list, but.
But I can see it. Anyway, sorry.
but yeah, RDJ has the largest biceps in the MCU, with the exception, there's only one person that beats him out, and that's Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
RDJ, I think, was it? I'm trying to think. I'm going to have to look it up now. Because
Chris Evans.
No, actually, RDJ's biceps are bigger than Chris Evans.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
So, let this be a lesson, kids. If you kick a drug habit and go into, like, the other direction, you're going to be all right.
All right, I have got to look this up now. I've got to, because for some reason, 56 inches keeps popping into my head, and there's no way his biceps are that big.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. RDJ's biceps.
And, you know, while doing, I don't know, I'm seeing these pictures, and he's pretty goddamn cut.
Oh, yeah. And he works very hard at it.
And, you know, kind of surprising me, you know, Paul Rudd, I had no idea.
Yeah. Paul Rudd is actually, he actually hit my list. It was down there a little bit, but he hit my list.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think Paul Rudd is just adorable.
Everybody loves Paul Rudd. You will never find anyone that does not like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Who? Who? Who is this person? That I don't know. Yeah. Maybe somebody that doesn't like the Ron Burgundy movies, but he's generally like...
Yeah, I don't like the Ron... Never mind.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, yeah, number two and number one.
All right. Well, I just told you.
Oh, well, okay, and so I'm going to give my number two.
Give your number two, and then we'll go to your number one, and then we'll talk about my number one.
I'm going to go for number two. I am going to go with RDJ.
Nice.
I'm going to go with RDJ, and again, when you talk about people of a certain age... We remember RDJ from Less Than Zero, Weird Science, you know, a lot of those 80s. He was kind of an 80s, 90s. He was very close to, he wasn't in the Brat Pack, but he was on the periphery.
Right.
You know, he knew a lot of those people. I would dare say, actually, RDJ is probably an incredibly up there with Johnny when it comes down to how well connected are you with people that you have worked with and, you know.
Pause. Just FYI, RDJ's biceps are 15 inches around. So his biceps are almost as thick as your neck.
Yeah. You were talking 50-something. It was like
50. Yeah, I know. Like I said, I don't know why that number kept popping into my head.
That being said, I have found a couple of pictures of him online where he's working in the lab and he's got a black tank top on and he's like showing off his heart.
Yeah.
And his arms. He's actually one of those guys, ladies and gentlemen, for guys, if you get the veiny as a dick arm... You're definitely, like, doing it. And you know what? RDJ has veiny as a dick arms.
Oh, yeah. I mean, God, I'm trying to imagine 50, geez. He's got arms almost as big around as my legs, and I got some pretty fucking big legs, so.
Yeah, you know, whenever you put them in those perspectives. Yeah, when we're talking about, like, as big around as my neck, I'm like, you know what, it's not 50-something, but that's pretty goddamn big.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking big.
It's pretty big.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt, so continue, please.
But, you know, our RDJ, because, yeah, again, he's kind of one of us, he actually is kind of similar to Jeff Goldblum to me, but...
He does.
Maybe a little higher.
He does kind of symbolize the rise and fall, I guess you could say.
It's the rise and fall, and it's
of the 80s.
Like he's kind of the smarter. He's like the smarter person's idea of a hunk.
Right. Yes.
You know, I ended up going up to Auburn a couple of years ago, and we were watching some Marvel movies, and there were a lot of football moms that were just going off about, yeah, Hemsworth, you know, and like the overt hunks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, Robert Downey Jr. or something. And they're like,
Yeah. But the smart women, we're the smart girls. Yeah, the smart women. Because you know, he has the brain as well as the body.
You know, he has the brain, and he also has the veiny biceps. And that, to me, sounds like kind of where you want to go.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, so who's your number one? I think I know what it is, and I'm going to be really disappointed. But go ahead. Who's your number one?
I think you're going to be disappointed because I did kind of switch them. And it's something that, you know what, actually, gentle listeners, my opinion has been polluted by my co-presenter. I love Chris Evans, and I love his career, but you know what? He dyed his hair blonde. Yes, ma'am. And you know what? It is funny. Actually, it is truly hilarious. At the same time, it's also true.
So, he is so...
And I looked
so...
at a few pictures of Steve Rogers, and it always didn't sit right with me, honestly.
The man is so pretty with the dark hair and the dark scruff. The man is beautiful without all that bleach blonde friggin' hair.
You know, there was a fantastic, I think it was Ellen, and the woman that plays Agent Carter was being interviewed, and they were talking about that scene where he transforms from regular Steve Rogers from Brooklyn to Captain America.
Right.
And he's like gasping and looking at his body and just going, and she's totally flustered and doesn't have it together. She's like, guys, that was not how the scene was supposed to go. He's like, I had never seen him before. He's like, I had just...
That's right. She had never seen him without his shirt off.
And she had to touch him and stuff, and she was like, on a visceral experience, my mind was blown, and they kept it for the film.
Because it was classic. So, I mean, it was perfect.
So, you know, that being said,
okay, so Chris Evans.
So my number one, I'm going to go with Sebastian Shaw in The Winter Soldier. I am going to flip it.
Sebastian Shaw.
And I'm going to put Chris Evans as number six.
Wow.
That being said, Sebastian Shaw as The Winter Soldier, and just Sebastian Shaw anyway.
Yeah, because he is beautiful. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now, we're talking Bucky, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He does.
He ended up being Tommy Lee. He's done a lot of stuff.
He does this one movie. It's called Fresh. Yeah, I would recommend anybody watch it because it's a really good movie. It's really creepy. But, yeah.
Stan, excuse me.
Yeah.
Sebastian Stan.
You said Sebastian Shaw, and I'm going, who the fuck is Sebastian Shaw?
Yeah, my bad.
But, yeah, Sebastian Stan, he does this movie called Fresh where he kidnaps girls and sells their flesh to cannibals.
Wow. What?
Yep.
What?
The movie is called Fresh.
And that's a new movie.
Well, it's
2022.
At least a year and a half, 2 years old.
It was a Hulu thing.
Okay. Apparently you're looking it up.
I am, because I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it was, and like I said, it was creepy and cool and really out there. But he was amazing in it. And I did see him as Tommy Lee. He was amazing in that, too. By the way, the prosthetic that he wears as Tommy Lee is an enlargement of himself.
Yeah, they used his mold or whatever.
Yeah, they used his mold, but just made it bigger.
Yeah. Well, us cool people have seen the original source material for that.
Well, you know, I had not until the whole Tommy Lee, Pam Anderson thing came out. And then another friend of mine was like, oh, yeah, you can find it all over the internet. See here, just like this. And I'm going, oh!
I know it sounds weird, but people are 3D printing a prosthetic
Does not sound weird at all. I can, yeah. You know, I'm waiting for the chick that prints out uses the 3D printer for all the dick pics she's gotten. Uh-huh. So,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'm like, dude, I was face to Tommy Lee's chest when I was like 15. And
yeah, right.
That was there? Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a special kind of person.
Oh, yeah. I snuck backstage at a Motley Crue concert.
Yeah.
Years and years and years ago. I was 15.
Christ.
And I was walking backwards because I was watching for the security guards and ran into a brick wall that turned out to be Tommy Lee.
Yeah. He's solid.
Oh, yeah. I turned around and was staring at Tommy Lee's chest. He's like, you snuck back here. I'm like, yeah. I was like, you gonna call security? He's like, hell no, come on. Took me back, introduced me to the band. It was great.
And, you know, on a related note, I've kind of gotten back into, thanks to you, actually, in this thing that I'm writing, I've gotten back into, like, early to mid-80s metal.
Nice.
And I am starting to really reappreciate Motley Crue.
They really, I mean, as far as mainstream metal goes, Motley Crue was the shit.
Yeah. You know, and I've listened to a lot of really great metal that's come out in the 21st century. I'm really surprised. I knew a lot about metal back then. And back then, I don't know why, I guess I thought they were kind of commercial or whatever, but they really were hard. And Tommy Lee is still an excellent drummer.
Oh, dude. Man, okay. I play drums, but I'm like a kindergartner pretending.
Well, you understand the basics, right?
When it comes to what Tommy Lee does. I can keep up with Lars Ulrich. of Metallica. Mm-hmm. But trying to keep up with Tommy Lee.
They said his technical, like, he would throw in extra stuff that you didn't expect. And on listening to it now, I'm like, yeah, he did some really, they left him in charge.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, as a drummer, it's impossible to try to keep up with him. You cannot do it. I mean, it's like you've seen the video of the little kid that does the Bruce Lee,
Yeah,
try doing that with Tommy Lee. Not going to happen.
I'm always reminded of Dr. Feelgood. And that drum solo, you know, that part kind of in the middle. And when they were live, he had the rotating drum cage. He was doing that stuff upside down.
He was strapped in with a 5-point harness, the same thing they use in race cars.
Yeah.
Yup. And he killed it. They actually did have an issue in one of their earlier concerts. The drum cage went upside down and one of the drums went bouncing off into the horizon. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, you know, those drum techs were like, oh my God.
Oh man, the stage techs were like, ah!
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry. Yep. All right, so my number one.
You're number one.
My number one.
Okay, well, I think I know who it is.
You know who it is. You know who it is. He's the bod. He's the babe. Yep. He's the hair. He's the god. Chris Hemsworth. Gotta love him.
You're like, I wouldn't, you know, just jump on top of him. I would spend so much time just touching him. And
oh, dude. No. Yeah. actually.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he is so hard everywhere, all over his body, except for his butt. He has this cute little pillow ass butt.
It's the only place you can sleep on.
I would put my head on that ass and sleep anytime. Although like sleep would be the last thing on my mind if that was in my bed.
Yes. That's awesome.
Sorry.
And he is cool. You know, he's actually really funny.
Well, the thing is he's got the sense of humor, and he is so dedicated to his wife.
Yeah, he's a family man.
Yeah, him and Tom Hiddleston are actually very good friends. And, you know, Chris's big thing was, hey, finally we've got kids that can play together.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, but yeah, he is totally dedicated to his wife. Unfortunately, not like I'll ever get a ticket to Hollywood to go see him or anything, but you know.
That being said, I'd love for you to speak on it. But do you remember when the Thor movies and up to the Avenger movie, you know, that time period
came out?
All the ships that everybody did with Loki.
Oh, God.
And it was substantiated by set photos.
Oh, yeah, but it's
touchy feely guys, you know, and they're like, and a lot of women and some men were like, oh, I'd like to take this a little further visually in my mind.
Oh, man. Check out DeviantArt. They have a lot of those images.
No.
Absolutely, yes. Oh, and RDJ and Loki? I have several of those myself.
I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, but okay, that's intriguing.
Oh, no, it's sweet. It's very sweet.
Okay, so we definitely need to check that out, people.
But yeah, I'll send you a few when we get done with the podcast.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, DeviantArt took that a few steps further. But see, I have to, you know, I can understand because I don't see a friend without running up and hugging their neck. If I'm talking to somebody, I'm going to touch their shoulder or their elbow or their hand. You know, I'm a very touchy-feely kind of person.
Me too.
You know,
my male friends and my female friends.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't matter, male or female, either one.
Right.
You know, so I get the whole, you know, the friendship between Tom and Chris and people misconstruing it and taking it a bit too far. But, you know, that's just the way some of us are.
Well, you know, and on a related note, and you are the authority on this certainly at this point, but would you say that for Tom's actor friends, and he seems like the kind of guy that would probably kind of keep in touch maybe, or at least, you know, be friendly with his co-stars, but one of the close friendships is Hemsworth.
Yes, and he has been known to say many times that some of his best scenes are with Chris. And right. he's been known to say that Chris makes him a better actor.
Right. Yes, yes.
So,
and certainly Chris feels the same way.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's I don't know how it is with acting because I'm not an actor. But I know when I go to work, if I'm working with people I like, it makes things go so much easier, so much smoother. You know, everything seems to work so much better. If I'm working with people I don't like or don't get along with, the day drags, it's horrible, I have to deal with this crap. And I have to imagine it's kind of the same thing with acting. If you're acting with other actors that you get along with, that you like, that you respect, then everything just flows that much smoother, that much easier. If you're acting with people that you really can't stand, then, yeah, it's more difficult.
Sure.
I mean, would you...
You can be a great actor and pull it off on film, but between takes, you know, you're separating. These guys, between takes, these photos were, you know, between take stuff, and they were hanging out with each other and staying in the same space and laughing.
Oh, right. And that actually reminds me of another degree of separation that Hiddleston and Johnny Depp are very much the same. Between takes on Johnny's films, he would go on the piano and like play and like sing and like do goofy stuff to entertain the cast and the crew. Well, Tom would do something much similar on his movies.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What, anything that was available?
Well, yeah. He would do tap dance, which he doesn't tap dance, but he would mimic it.
Yeah,
to make the crew laugh.
I did it at work. Actually, I did it at work this week. I really did.
You tap danced at work this week.
I tap danced and I did cheerleader style cheering.
Did you do a high kick?
I did.
Ah, and you didn't send me pictures.
No, well, it was kind of spontaneous.
Well, next time, send me pictures so I can post them on the blog.
Misty, my boss, who is pregnant now, she's on like month 4 to 5.
Oh, is she doing good?
Like the diabetic monitor and stuff like that. And I kind of did it when I was announcing that we were doing a particular automated job. And I was like, and it's the 1-4 homecoming. And she literally was just like, Carrie, I can't deal with you right now. But she was joking. But she was serious, but she was joking.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when you, like, get along with personalities like that, that's on the set or at the job, like you said, you know.
Oh, right. I mean, it's got to be a lot, very, very similar. You know, if you get along, you get along. And if you don't, it makes things that much more difficult to deal with on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that filming a Marvel movie is anywhere near trying to close down fiscal 2023. But when everybody's going through hell and you know MCU movies ain't easy to do, and you've got like people that are like, you know what, man, yeah, then it does, you get tired of it.
The biggest thing I remember with doing, you know, because I research everything. I research the movies, I research the quotes, I research everything. Well, when we first started this podcast, we did the first Thor movie. That went well. Then we did the first Avengers movie. That one, eh. So I started, I was like, yeah, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to do it again. I start researching, and at the very end, the fight scene between Thor and Loki, at the very end of the Avengers movie. You know the scene I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, they took it, and it just did not, it didn't play, it didn't compute, it did not translate to film well.
Gotcha.
And the director was like, okay, look, either y'all need to actually make contact, or, you know, you need to try harder because this is not working. You know, we're getting nothing. So Tom looks at Chris and goes, all right, fine. Dude, fucking hit me. Chris is like, no, man. He's like, yeah, hit me. Just go ahead and hit me. Chris is like, no, not a good idea. Tom's like, come on, man, I'm wearing all this padding, you know, I've got all this stuff on, and, you know, you're not going to do that much damage, just fucking hit me. Tom said that was the last time he ever challenged Chris to hit him, ever. But the scene played out perfectly.
Oh, yeah. And that's what they had to do to kind of break the cherry.
Yeah, so when they are fighting at that end scene, they are actually making contact. They are actually hitting each other.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And wow.
And oh my God, I don't even want to think about that fucking size 16 fist coming at me. Uh-uh.
You know what? We better be good friends here. After this.
Dude. Yeah, you better be taking care of my kids after this.
Yeah, for real. Or at the very least, I don't ever want to work for this franchise again. And I never want to see this man again.
But they are the best of friends. I was so disappointed when they filmed Love and Thunder in Australia. There was, you know, Tom went down to Australia while they were filming, and I'm like, oh yes, there's gonna be Loki scenes. Loki's gonna be in Love and Thunder. No. Tom went down to show his support to Chris, and he was there to, you know, to, that was it. You know, he wasn't there to film. He wasn't there as Loki. He was there as Tom, and he was there as a friend.
Yeah.
But
he probably knows the area pretty well. Let's face it, he's well traveled. I mean, he's going to be comfortable, and I'd certainly go see my friend.
Well, considering that, you know, Chris is Australian, I'm sure he could, you know, he could direct.
Well, that's his backyard.
Oh, yeah. But I never will forget the first time I ever saw Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
He was on an episode of iCarly.
Okay, so I knew he was on... Okay, wow. Okay, I knew he was on an episode of iCarly, but had he done, like, film stuff before that? Or
No, he was so little.
Get out. Well, I know he was a surfer, so he was really, like, lean.
He was very lean and wiry.
Right, like a surfer.
He was built a lot like Tom. Actually, but at one point they have a rain of meat, and like iCarly, you know, you hit the button and all this meat drops down where there's two or three hooks that are empty, and they're like, where's the meat for this? And dude's sitting there with a raw steak,
he's eating it,
chowing down. I'm like, oh man, that's my guy right there. Yeah, I like my steak.
It's not cold, it's still okay.
Oh, yeah, I like my steak fucking bloody, so.
I like it rare to medium rare myself, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm like, but, yeah, he was the, let's see, she was the feminine idiot, and he was the, crap. They were trying to get, you know, where you have someone that comes and doesn't get paid, but they work for you?
Yeah, an apprentice or an intern.
Intern, that's it. Unpaid intern. Well, Freddie was trying to get the girls to get his friend as their intern so he could get school credit. Well, they got this buff, gorgeous idiot as their intern. So Freddie turns around and gets this beautiful, gorgeous, you know, as his intern. And she's like completely brain dead. And then at the end of the episode, you realize that she's actually doing a study in abnormal psych. And she's brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Freddie's like, yeah, I got y'all.
Yeah. And listen, we're running low on time.
We are. So we're going to have to do our babes next week.
Unless we can do it in 20 minutes?
I don't know. Let's try it. Number five.
All right. So, and by the way, just throwing this out there, Hemsworth didn't make my list of the top five, but I would put him in my top five for actors and roles. You could not have done this without Hemsworth as Thor.
Nice.
I'm going to say that right now.
All right.
And not because he looks the part, but because he just is Thor.
He is, absolutely. All right, so give me five and four of your females.
So, actually, I'm going to come in at hard five. Number five. So, and this is a, quote unquote, what they would call a minor character, maybe?
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember what her name is. Colby Saunders is the actress. She was Maria, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. You remember the brunette that was always...
Yes!
She was in How I Met Your Mother.
Yep.
And honestly, I think that she is just freaking gorgeous.
She is sexy as hell. Now, she's a lot more hardcore in the comic books.
Yeah, right. But I prefer her version of the movie version.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's the one who's, yeah, okay, we're compromised at area da-da-da. We need to get you out now on, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if I may give a spoiler. So Secret Invasion's been out for, I think they're on episode 5 or 6. Or have they completed that on Disney Plus?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think they're on like episode 5. Anyway, spoiler. They killed her off. Maria Hill.
No!
Fans, like Marvel MCU fans, are going nuts.
They did not kill Maria Hill off.
They killed her off.
Oh, no.
And so, and I'm like, you know, I haven't seen the episode. I can kind of see where they're coming from, where, you know, people die. People die in this sort of thing. But a lot of people were like, but God damn it.
But not Maria.
I have definitely got to investigate that further. And hey, I mourn the loss. I really do. I liked her as a character. And God damn it, you're right. She's sexy.
Oh, man. Hot as hell. She is one of those take charge women that you're just like, oh, yeah, over here. Hello.
Yeah, and she will kill people if need be. I mean, she's incredibly powerful. Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
She just got that presence.
Colby Saunders playing her. You know, maybe if they could have gotten another actress to play her, maybe.
Uh-uh.
You know, it's not like Hemsworth and Thor, but that being said, I'm really glad they picked, you know, Whistlers. Yeah.
So, my number five is Thor's girlfriend, Natalie Portman.
Oh, what?
Yeah. My number five is Natalie Portman. She is adorable.
Oh, no, listen, I couldn't agree more, but what that is a fantastic pick.
Yeah, she's very soft and needy when you want her to be, and she's very hardcore and in charge, and I will take care of this when she needs to be. She's amazing.
Yeah, you know, she's a human character. Like, she's human.
Right.
But she is that one that's from the regular movies that's the really competent and...
But she takes... She's one that... Yeah, she is human. But she takes command of the superheroes as if they were her children.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like, okay, no, this is how we're doing things. So, yeah. Yeah, Natalie Portman, number 5.
Like it. I'm going to move to number 4.
Yep.
And it's a hot take, but I know you're likely going to agree with me. Cate Blanchett is hella, goddammit.
Absolute evil.
Oh, my, and she looks, oh, my God.
Oh, so sexy.
And fuckable. Oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, hey, like, Halloween. I may have to do Cate Blanchett.
Huh?
I may have to do Cate for Halloween.
That would... You could pull that off.
Absolutely. With my black hair?
But what about the head part?
Yeah, I'll have to make that.
That would be heavy. You know... That woman had to go through some kind of, I don't know if they CG'd a lot of that because
I'm not, I don't, that work. I know when she goes from like the hair to the headdress, they CG'd that, but like the other scenes, I'm not sure, but you know, I could probably,
you could do the prior scenes.
I mean, hey, come on, duct tape and baling wire, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the cosplay people have come up with some fantastic methods of achieving that sort of effect. But I've never seen them do it with, like, Hela. You know, it's always anime cartoon characters.
Right. But it can't be that much different to do it with Hela.
Yeah, exactly.
So I might have to... God, I know I've got some black leather pants around here somewhere.
I mean, there's another great thing about Hela. When you're done with a costume, you're going to continue to wear the clothes.
Absolutely.
All right. And you're going to play Joan Jett in the background, I'm sure.
Oh, please. That's another idea to do.
Joan Jett. The badass bitch struts into the room.
Oh, man. Joan Jett is the badass bitch.
We should do an episode... I would like to propose where we have musical people come into the MCU. I could see Joan Jett, you know, she's done some acting chops.
Oh, Joan Jett is amazing.
I could see Keith Richards being part of the MCU.
Pat Benatar.
Oh, hell yeah. Stevie Nicks.
Stevie! Oh, yeah, we just had a conversation about Stevie Nicks yesterday, as a matter of fact.
We should consider that as an episode.
We will have to do that. So, my number 4 equals yours, Cate Blanchett. Mm. My number 3... My number 3 would have to be... oh, God, what's her name? Gamora.
Oh, Zoe Saladin, yeah.
Yes. And you'll freak out over my number 2.
Who's your number 2?
Her sister.
No.
Yes.
Gilliam is... So, hottest redhead, definitely. Both sexes. The hottest redhead in the MCU is definitely Gilliam.
No, I was talking about the one with all the titanium and crap.
Oh, yeah. Nebula, yeah.
Nebula. Oh,
she's played by a beautiful actress.
Really? Okay, I'll have to check this one out.
And she's been in a lot of movies. She was in the, what were those? Jumanji movies. She was the female lead in the Jumanji movies with The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, it's her.
That like, pretty little tiny itty bitty redhead?
Yes. And she was a Doctor Who companion for like.
Oh, well, Doctor Who, there you go.
But, yo, I could see Nebula being, no, dude.
But yeah, Nebula is, and it's not the actress, it's the character. I love the character. She's so torn. You know, most of, you know, she wants to be true to her sister, but she wants to be true to her dad as well. And she's so torn between the two. It's just, it's heartbreaking and it's so real. And I love it.
You know, I would, I don't know if you could find a deeper emotional set of scenes than those scenes with her and Thanos.
Oh, yeah. Especially
I actually was like, I thought this was just going to be an action thing, but yeah, you were very teary-eyed. And she's like, you know, what did it cost you? And he said, everything.
Everything, because he gave up the daughter that he loved.
He killed her. He had to kill her.
But he gave up the daughter that he loved, and the daughter that he had was like, well, who am I? And he's like, basically, nothing.
Yeah. And that scene where he first met her, where he had the dagger and he balanced it on his finger.
Yeah.
It's like perfectly balanced as everything should be. You know, and you're like, damn, this is hitting. It just hit deep.
Very hard.
Those movies hit way different. Avengers was a casting. And everybody was charming, and you got to enjoy everybody.
But the in-game movies were a whole lot different.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, so number two. Three and two for you.
Number two for me, I am actually focusing mostly on the actress, but the character was really attractive too, and this is another hot take. But I'm going to go with Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, I loved Mantis!
And she is played by an actress. She's French. Her name's Pom Clémentif.
Say and that three times fast.
She started off as a model. She's one of these actresses that was French and started off as a model. And then a movie guy spotted her and she started doing French movies. And then they bought her in basically to be Mantis.
Right.
She's half Taiwanese, I believe.
Oh, so pretty.
And
that's where she gets that look, that fresh face.
Her mother was Korean and her father was Russian French.
Ah.
So you're getting definitely a exotic mix. And she's just stunning.
She's about as mixed as Keanu.
Yeah, it's one of it's a very unexpected like three or four different source mixes.
Right.
I don't know. She's just crazy beautiful.
All right.
You know what? Mantis as a character was fantastic.
Mantis as a character was amazing. I loved the way that she went about everything. You know, we have to keep, you know, Sir quiet. Sir is asleep, so we have to keep Sir quiet.
You know, the thing that Marvel was missing is what they call the magical pixie girl. You know, she's like the early, like, Drew Barrymore or Kristen Dunst that was just, like, super cute and kind of alternative and just went around and spread all the good vibrations, and you just so wanted her to be your girlfriend.
Okay.
And they called it the magical pixie girl. Rachel Lee Cook, you know, actresses like that, Jennifer Love Hewitt kind of got the magical pixie girl thing.
Oh, now Jennifer Love Hewitt can be my magical pixie girl anytime.
Absolutely. But it's that kind of, you know, positive vibes character. And they didn't really have one. And Mantis is that character.
She really is.
She went about things. She was very unusual. And she was all about, really, when it comes down to it, good vibrations.
All right, so you're number one, and then I give you my number two and number one.
You sure you don't want to give me your number two? Because I'm super curious.
My number two?
Yeah.
Natasha.
Okay. Okay, obviously I ignored Natasha because, I wanted to do like alternatives, but I'm glad we're talking about Natasha and I'm
Oh
glad
yeah,
we're
she is my
talking
number
about
two.
her
There is only
photography.
one that is more sexy than she is.
Well, I just got the vote from my eldest who is visiting from college, and they are very busy this evening with friends, but wanted it to be known that there's only one answer, and it's Scarlett Johansson as Natasha.
Absolutely. So who's your number one?
So my number one, and I don't think it's going to be a surprise at this point.
There's only one left. Who's your number one?
Lady Sif.
Lady Sif.
From the four
Absolutely. Oh,
franchises.
man.
From the franchises. And yes, it is a big surprise, but in real life, Jamie and Alexander, the name of the actress, she is married to the guy that was the dad
Yeah, I
in
know.
all the Twilight. Yeah. Anyway, the sexiest woman in the MCU is Jamie Alexander playing Lady Sif.
Given.
God
Absolutely.
damn. Thank you. Thank you.
That's what I said. I would love to see my number one and number two in hand-to-hand combat.
Who's your number one?
Lady Sif.
Your one is Sif?
Yep.
I
Lady
have to
Sif
watch
and
that one too.
Natasha, I would love to see them in hand-to-hand combat.
Oh my, that's actually brilliant, ma'am. I mean, wow. That would be a great fight.
That would be an amazing fight.
Yeah,
All
you
right.
know, yeah, that was it. I do love that the Thor movies got into kind of the backstory besides just Thor, Loki, and Odin. And she was really great.
Yep.
The
And we
Warriors 3.
are running short of time as per usual.
Of course.
So, baby, give them your contact information so I can give them ours.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now since Cyberpunk has done this year-long patch and released it, I am playing Cyberpunk 2077 and I'm on PlayStation pretty much every damn day. My PlayStation Network ID is Traveler 2300, no spaces, two L's, and you can always contact me with my regular email, which I check twice a day. Mako 3303, no spaces.
That's MA.
Mako 3303
All right. And
hotmail.com. Hotmail.
guys, you know you can reach us at depheads and hiddlestoners at yahoo.com. That is our email. And then you can also reach us at our dedicated phone line. If we don't answer, we will get back to you. That is a promise. That phone number is 949-373-5476, or you can go to our blog at depheadshiddlestoners.com, or you can go to barryreese.net and click on the link. Any way you slice it, you can get a hold of us anytime. Give us a
You bet.
call. Let us know what you think. Answer the questions. Who's your hot bods and hot babes of the MCU? Next
Would
week,
love
we're
to
going to
hear
be
names.
doing hot babes and bods of. We're going to combine them. We're going to do pirates and Harry Potter.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, come on. There's only so many pirates you can go through.
So true.
Yeah,
Good point.
we'll figure it out. But yeah,
The
give us a
options for
call.
zombies.
Hey, zombies can be cool.
Yeah. Oh, there were some way cool zombies
All
in the Caribbean's franchise. Absolutely.
right, give us a call. Give us send us a link. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. Give us a shout out. Man, you got birthdays? We'll put them on the blog. We will definitely shout out here on the podcast. So until then, I'm Jen.
I'm Carrie.
See you later, guys.
Love and peace.
Peace and love.
Bye.
Bye, babies.